Well, it is good to be with you, and join me for a word of prayer as we get started this morning. Father, I pray that as we gather around your word, that you will speak to hearts and do what only you can do. You are God, and there is no other. You are to be worshipped and adored. And Father, we do that very thing now as we gather around Scripture. Teach us, I pray. Guide us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do like Christmas Carol. That's the reason when I was thinking about a sermon series, my kids will tell you that I do enjoy some of the classics like A Christmas Carol. There's one with George C. Scott's a good one, but there are other versions that I've watched as well. Charles Dickens, he wrote that back in 1843, a few years before this church started. Back in 1843, he wrote A Christmas Carol, and it features an older businessman. I don't want to say an old man. An older businessman named Ebenezer Scrooge. And Mr. Scrooge, he wasn't just frugal, he was a miser. And he showed no mercy to those who owed him money. Well, thanks to the ghost of his dead friend, he was visited by three Christmas spirits, past, present, and future. And their visits transformed his very life. Yeah, I think it was the third one that really shook him from his sad state of affairs. And then he became a believer, and he became a friend to many, and he cherished Christmas in his heart. But you know, the coming of Jesus Christ to the planet was an even greater event that transformed millions of people over the past 20 centuries. The fact that you and I are here celebrating a risen Jesus gives testimony to that. The God who created matter took shape within it. Isn't that amazing? I don't even know how to grasp how Jesus could take on human flesh, the infinite one, the immortal one, the everlasting one, taking on the confines of a baby's skin. And yet, God used the Old Testament prophets of Israel to give us clear and detailed prophecies. Alfred Endersheim, he has, in his study, found 456 Old Testament verses referring to Messiah or to his times. Jesus fulfilled 300 of those prophecies during his three-year earthly ministry when he was back on the planet. So let's look at a few of these prophecies that the Old Testament prophets talked about. In Daniel 9, we read these words. Now, know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. Well, the word went out in 445 BC to rebuild Jerusalem. Seven sevens and 62 sevens. Seven and 62 gives us 69 sevens, or 483 years. So that tells us the time Messiah would come, which was right at the time when Jesus was born on planet Earth. The place of Messiah was prophesied. In Micah 5, we hear these words. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. You do realize, I know it's hard for many of us to grasp, but Jesus existed before he became the baby in the manger, before he was in Mary's womb. He existed, and this is what Scripture is telling us. But the place was proclaimed there in Bethlehem. The way of Messiah would be described. In Isaiah 7, we read these words. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the last one that I want us to consider is the purpose of why Jesus came, why Messiah was revealed. Isaiah 49, he says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. I would dare say most of us in this room are Gentile. And the fact that Christ came to Israel, but that good news went beyond Israel to the world is another testimony to the coming of Jesus. Christmas is about a God who made time and came at the right time. The Father sent Jesus into the world around 2,026 years ago, which would have been 5 to 4 BC. But why then? Why was that the good time? Well, the Apostle Paul put it this way in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. You know, I know sometimes when we pray to God, we struggle with God's timing because his timing is not our timing. He seems to have his own schedule, and even though he loves us, he sticks to his own schedule. And that's a difficult thing because most of us, when we want something, we want it now, right? Or we wanted it to happen yesterday. And so timing is a problem for some of us. And yet with God, his timing, his knowledge of things is so perfect that when something happens, like Paul said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Why was the timing of Jesus' birth at his first advent perfect? Well, let's consider four ways. And if you have your handout, you'll see that I have things ready to go. Reason number one, it was the fullness of time because of world peace. Now, the Romans weren't necessarily loved by all people groups, but they were very successful in establishing peace during those ancient days. For the first time in centuries, the civilized world enjoyed a time of peace from fighting and killing, all thanks to the Roman Empire. Though the Roman army was cruel, they were highly effective in maintaining order and peace throughout the vast empire. The second reason was the fact it was the fullness of time because of the Roman roads. I don't know who was it you, Missy, that was showing me that picture of a Roman road, and then somebody was saying, these are my streets that I'm dealing with. It is an amazing thing. These roads that the Roman engineers built, many of them still exist throughout Europe and Asia. They were built to last. Those roads were another reason why it was the fullness of time. Wherever the Roman army marched, the engineers followed, building highways. It used to be said back in those days, all roads lead to Rome. And it just wasn't a cute saying. It was a fact in the empire. Those roads benefited commerce and communication. And when the gospel, after the resurrection of Jesus, came along through the apostles, those very roads became a major route for the rapid spread of the gospel after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. The third reason it was the fullness of time was the fact because of Greek culture. Before Rome's rise to power, Greece was the superpower of the day. And under Alexander the Great, Greek language and culture and philosophy spread throughout Europe and northern Africa, throughout even the Middle East. And that spread of one language and one worldview culture made the job of sharing the gospel all the more easier. Think about it. The New Testament, what language was it written in? The New Testament. What ancient language? It was written in Greek. And so even the Romans adopted a lot of Greek ideas. And so even though Rome was in power, the Greek language, the Greek philosophy, the culture was there. And the apostles, when they wrote scripture, they wrote in Greek. And so, you know, a lot of people, when they want to be missionaries, they usually have to go through training because you can't just send somebody to a culture, to a country where the language is different. You have to give them language training. You have to give them some understanding of culture because there might be things that are acceptable here that are not acceptable there. And these are things that missionaries need to learn if they're going to be effective wherever they go. But there was no need for 2 years of language study. There was no need in courses in culture sensitivity because that was the time there. It was the fullness of time thanks to Greek culture. And finally, it was the fullness of time because of great religious expectation. The ancient world was very religious by worshiping many gods and participating in mystery religions. But human-made religion can never satisfy the deepest needs of the soul. People were searching. This is why even in the Gospels you will read about people coming to Jesus, Gentiles coming to Jesus, or even Gentiles who would go to the synagogue. You know, the polytheistic ways of the Romans was not something that seemed to satisfy many, and that's why there were devout Romans who were seeking and searching for the true meaning. Surely all of these false gods and goddesses, this has to be made up stuff. And so you would find many Gentiles who were drawn to Judaism, drawn to the Jewish faith because of their monotheistic ways. People were searching for truth and for meaning. Even the gospel writers mention Romans and Greeks were drawn to Judaism. And historians and theologians tell us that there was a great religious anticipation in the time that Jesus was born. And ladies and gentlemen, into that vacuum, born of a virgin, born under the law, came the Lord Jesus Christ. The atmosphere that was created by peace, easy travel, communication through a common language, and the restless feelings that many people were feeling in a religious vacuum supported the fact that Jesus came to the earth at the right moment in the fullness of time. The question is, will you and I hopefully make time for Jesus? You know, there's a lot of people, and I'm hoping that as we have our Christmas services, that we'll have a lot of family and friends that will want to come and be with you, because many times this is one of the greatest opportunities that you and I have to share our faith and to celebrate and to remind them that there is more at Christmas time than just the giving of gifts. It was the fullness of time. Communion is a very special time. It is a time for those of us that love Jesus where we are taken back into time to where the Lord met us. I've already shared that I don't come from a Christian home. Mom and Dad were friendly, to pastors and religious people. And yes, they would go to services sometimes if they were invited by family or friends. But it wasn't a normal part of what we did on Sundays. We pretty much did what we wanted to do and lived for ourselves. And then Christ came into the equation when I was a teenager. And it was through a friend who was telling his pastor about me, about my family. And through that encounter, I learned that I needed a Savior. And that's what communion reminds me of, taking me back to my past where Jesus met me. You know, God does love people where they are. But he loves us too much to leave us there. And that's why Christ came that very first Christmas. He came for a reason. Born of a virgin, born under the law, to be our Savior. And obviously, when he instituted communion, it was a sacred event that night. It was the night he was going to be betrayed. I'll get it out there. Be betrayed. It was the night he was going to be betrayed by one of his own. But as he gathered those men together and he was preparing them for what he was going to face on the cross, he instituted something known as the Lord's Supper, where he talked about, you do these things in remembrance of me. And think about it. For the last 2,000 years, believers have gathered all around the world. This isn't just American. This is around the world. Christians gather around the Lord's table to celebrate Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We do not serve close communion. All who have put their faith in Jesus Christ are invited to join us. This is not a matter of I belong to this church or not. It's the matter of, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior and Lord? If you have cried out and said, Lord, I am yours, then please join us. And remember, the other beautiful thing about Christ, why he had to come and die, was the fact that we all, before we come to Christ, do you know we're physically alive, but spiritually, when it comes to God, we are dead in our sins. We are damned. Do you realize that? Before Christ, before I gave my heart to Christ, there was no hope in my situation. If I were to die, I would not go into heaven. The only reason I can stand before you today, the only reason I can stand one day in his presence, is because of what he did on the cross. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he broke it, he gave thanks, saying, this is my body given for you. Jesus came at the right time. He came when the world was knowing peace. He came because of the transportation network that was established. He came because of the culture that was prevalent in the ancient world. And he came because people were seeking truth. Not just this man-made religion that people seem to find comfort in for the moment, but the real truth that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Go with these words. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.